Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Voor de jongeren die kijken, geweldig nieuws, want Rebecca St. James, een van de meest bekende en meest geliefde gospelzangeressen, zingt vandaag in de Crystal Cathedral. Rebecca St. James komt uit Australië en dat heeft alles te maken met de Australische Zondag in de kathedraal. En verder als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, Mia Audina. Zij won bijna de wereldkampioenschappen badminton vorig jaar. Ze kwam met zilver terug naar Nederland, maar hoopt nog altijd wereldkampioene te worden. En wat de sport en geloof voor haar betekenen, vertelt ze in deze uitzending van Hour of Power.
Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 35th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Cathedral. It is a fabulous day for us to be able to welcome all of the people from Australia, and that's why we have our Australian instrument being played by none other than Steve Velez, the didgeridoo. Is that right? I said it correctly. The didgeridoo. Now can you teach me to play this thing?
Go like this. Go ahead, try it.
Okay. Like that?
Relax your lips and then just...
Okay. I don't think that works very good. Well, anyhow, I'll have to try another time. That's a fun instrument, though. It sounds really... Do you know how those things are made? Well, the Australians are shaking their head, yes. We know how they're made. Okay, so everyone knows how they're made. Never mind. I love music, and I love instruments. This is a great place to come to church. You never know what you're going to find. You'll even find some Australians here today. Where's our Australian contingency? All the way from Australia. We're good to have you. We are recognizing all of the international ministries we have here, and so we're so glad to have all of the Australians here, and we just want to welcome you to the Crystal Cathedral. Would you please take a moment right now and welcome those who are standing around you, shake their hands and say, God loves you, and so do I. Well, my father is going to be interviewing our honored guest this morning, Jim Nicholson. He is a Secretary of Veterans Affairs and the former ambassador to the Vatican. We also have the Hour of Power Ministry of Australia presenting a special tribute for our 50th anniversary, including the Australian-born singer and songwriter, Rebecca St. James. She's with us. Daniel McGrew, one of the children from the Crystal Cathedral Academy, one of the soloists in the glory of Christmas and the glory of Easter, will be singing along with the choir. Don Newen is performing at Carnegie Hall, and so he isn't with us this morning, but Michael Skigel is directing the choir for us, and Mark Riley is directing the orchestra. Sean Groobridge is playing the Hazel Wright organ. And so, this is the day that God has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a glorious day that you have established, that the entire creation, everything from the beginning of time, has been made so that we can enjoy we, your people, can experience this moment. So we thank you, Lord, for your touch upon humanity, upon each individual in this room, upon life. So we thank you, the grand designer and creator of all things. We thank you for now and always. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for singing with such enthusiasm. What a wonderful way to praise God who comes to, waits for us to gather together with him here in his church. Listen now to the reading of the sacred scriptures. Isaiah writes, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant and as a light to all people. You, my people, will open blind eyes. You will bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in the darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. Behold, the former things have come to pass. And now, new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Wow. May God add his blessings to the reading of this holy word. Now listen to the choir, and especially you'll enjoy Daniel McGrew, who's been attending our Crystal Cathedral Academy for performing arts, and you're hearing more and more of the powerful talent coming therefrom. He will be singing the anthem with the choir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel. What a gift God has given to you. And thank you for applauding him, because that shows that you have the gift of gratitude. And that's a wonderful way to say thank you to God for the beauty of what he's put into this world. My guest this morning is a man whom I admire most deeply. He would have to be in the list of people that I admire and respect and love without reservation. Part of this is because he was born in the same part of the country as I was, Northwest Iowa, on a farm. Only my dad owned the farm. Was trying to make payments on the mortgage, that is. And he didn't have a father that was able to buy a farm, so they lived in empty houses that appeared here and there. He and his one of seven children. The only person I've ever heard of that kids made fun of in school because his shoes did not match. And you think you were born in poverty? So it was with profound enthusiasm that I was a part of his election into the Horatio Elder Fraternity. And he shares the faith in Christ that I admire so much. Today he is the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, sits in the President's Cabinet. He's a man of dignity, total integrity. And please help me welcome the Honorable Secretary James Nicholson. Wow. Since a youth, you've been very active in our nation, and from the wonderful state of Iowa, you can tell an Iowan any. I would simply share with us your story in your own words.
Well, congratulations to you and your family and your community on your 50th anniversary here. This is my first time here, and I've been looking forward to this for a long time. This is magnificent, what you've created and what you're doing here. And it is a long way from Alton, Iowa, or Struble, Iowa, where we come from. But I did, as you said, grow up very poor. My father, unfortunately, suffered the disease of alcoholism and just couldn't shake it. So we moved around, lived in itinerant housing, never had indoor plumbing, sometimes did not have electricity. But we had a mother who had a profound faith and used to tell us, as she would read the Bible to us around the kerosene lantern sometimes, that don't give up and be proud. You have a good intellect. And then she would always say, you need to work hard, study hard, and then especially say, and pray hard. And she was a devout Catholic, and she imbued us with our faith, all seven of us. And we followed her advice, and all seven went to college, and several of us have graduate degrees. But it was pretty difficult, especially because the people around us weren't poor, so it was quite humiliating. But it was an important lesson that stuck with me for life, I think.
And your the brother, a bit older than you, I think, was fortunate enough to be appointed to West Point. But you didn't have the money, and your family didn't have it. And then you did something that puts a lump in my throat.
Well, we prayed all the time. It seemed like we always had something to pray for. We still do. You know, when you have a big family and you have children, you know, we all know that. But there were two things that happened. They were the act of God. One, we were so desperate. We had nothing to eat. And I remember seeing an ad in a magazine, a discarded old magazine, you could sell Elmira greeting cards. So I responded. They sent me a little sample kit, and I started walking around to farms selling these cards. And I made 50% profit. And we were able to start buying some food. And then years later, my dad's condition was so bad, he was actually in a state hospital. We had nothing. My brother, who had gotten himself to West Point, did not have a way back. When the skies opened in Northwest Iowa and it started raining, rained for 8 hours and washed all the track out of the Great Northern Railroad from Sioux Falls to Sioux City, And I just finished my freshman year in high school, and I went up there to the depot and said, could I go out and help you rebuild this track? And this big Greek district engineer looked at me and he said, no, son, I think you're too young and you couldn't handle the work. And I said, sir, I need a job. And somehow that got through to him, and he gave me the job. So I worked there all summer on that track, and we got my dad out of the hospital, got my brother back to West Point. We had food. We got a car. So my dad could start going to work, and it was just an act of God.
Applaud that. You know who helped. From there, where do we go? You yourself were appointed to West Point, and you went, and you were a graduate. You wore the uniform with pride and honor, duty, honor, and country. Did I get that right?
Perfect. Perfect. Exactly.
Now, and you held on to your faith through all those very, very tough times. Now, Secretary of Veteran Affairs. Annual budget is $65 billion, second largest budget in America. And I'm so proud they have a man like you to take care of the veterans.
Well, thank you, Dr. Shuler. I am the chief advocate for our veterans. And our veterans in America, I think, are held in a very high plane by the American people because they should be. They have been unbelievably heroic. They've gone where we've asked them to go. They've gone unselfishly. And now what we are doing is trying to take care of those who went off and were damaged either mentally or physically. We have 158 hospitals around the country and a lot of benefit offices. And right here in L.A. this weekend, I was visiting our facilities and meeting with people about our homeless veterans. We have, unfortunately, way too many homeless veterans, and our young veterans are underemployed. About four times the national average, and they've been through training, discipline, and so I'm trying to get employers to reach out to our veterans and to give them a job and give them that dignity and satisfaction that comes with that because they deserve it. They have defended our freedom. Well, I think Dr. Shuler, the way you could pray for our veterans, if you would, and pray for me and this job I have. That would help.
We surely will. Well, thank you. Love and prayers go with you.
Thank you.
Ik ben best een beetje trots op de aanwezigheid van onze gasten vanmorgen in dit blokje van Hour of Power Nederland. Want ik heb het vorig jaar gezien en misschien velen met mij. Het was een bloedstollende wedstrijd waarin de vrouw die naast me zit bijna op een haarna wereldkampioene werd. En met goud naar Nederland was gekomen. Maar het ging net niet door. Mia Ordina, hartelijk welkom. Ik vind het leuk om de hand van jou mee te pakken, want je bent ongelooflijk goed in badminton.
Dankjewel.
En ik zag toevallig die wedstrijd en ik leefde helemaal met je mee. Want ik dacht, ja, als Nederland nou maar wint en je won niet. Nou, de eerste vraag natuurlijk, hoe ga je om met winnen en verliezen?
Ja, ik denk sowieso, sport is, ja, je kan niet altijd winnen. Sport is dan, ja, op een dag kan je verliezen en daarna ga je ook weer winnen. Vooral als je dan dezelfde level dan is wie de beste dag hebt, zeg maar. Dat scheelt zo'n klein beetje, maar dat maakt een verschil tussen de eerste plaats of de tweede plaats. Maar ik denk, wat ik altijd zeg, je moet gewoon je best doen. En God doet de rest. En je kan niks meer beter dan dat doen. Zo, ja.
Oh, dat is leuk. Je man heeft ook van die mooie uitspraken. Maar jij hebt er ook, hè? Doe je best en God doet de rest.
Ja, dat is echt mijn, ja, hoe moet ik uitleggen? Dat is in alles wat wij doen, zeg maar. Wij moeten gewoon echt uitmuntend ons best doen. En de rest doet God. Want wij kunnen niks, ja, wij kunnen niet beter doen dan dat.
Ja. Je bent net terug uit, van de zomer in Anaheim, ja. In Orange County. Vlakbij de Crystal Cathedral heb je weer meegedaan aan kampioenschappen. Ja. En de Chinezen zijn ongekend goed, hè? En Xi Jinping won.
Ja.
En hoe is dat om iemand te zien winnen terwijl je zelf dat ook zo graag wil?
Is vervelend gevoel is dat. En vooral om het gevoel om te verliezen, dat is voor de topsporters gewoon niet leuk. Maar je traint keihard elke dag om te kunnen winnen. En dat geeft je zoveel power, zeg maar. Dat is je beloning, zeg maar. Ja. Maar dat is... ik was in Anaheim, dat is voor de wereldkampioenschappen. Ja, helaas dat ik haar eerder ontmoet in de laatste 16. Dat is te maken dat ik niet geplaatst ben. Naar Athene heb ik 6 maanden pauze genomen. En dat maakte dat ik mijn ranking laag geworden. Want meestal, dat is gewoon een halve finale partijen. Ja. Want zij is wereldkampioen geworden. Doet nog veel... nog erger dan... Ik kan ook hetzelfde geld dat ik ook wereldkampioen kan worden. Maar ik denk dat is gewoon... er is ook zo nog een mooie uitspraak over... winnaar zijn niet mensen die nooit had verloren. Maar winnaar zijn mensen die nooit opgeven. Okay. En dat is waar. Want om te winnen is het stuk makkelijker om dan vol te houden. Ja. Want ik ben pas nu erbovenop gekomen. God heeft me zodanig geholpen... dat ik zo'n motivatie weer terugkrijg om helemaal te presteren. Want in Athene zat ik in de diep. Maar misschien mensen zeggen, hoe kan dat? Je had zilver gewonnen, maar je zat in de diep. Ja, ik had nog een lichte burn-out gehad. Ik had, allerlei dingen komen naar boven. De overlijden van mijn moeder. Waarschijnlijk dingen die ik had nooit kunnen verwerken. Komt het uit wanneer je niet meer gaat trainen. Of dat je even rustig aan gaat. Dan gaat het vanzelf automatisch eruit. Nu ga ik weer helemaal erbovenop. Ik moet gewoon doorgaan met mijn trainen en... Ja, ik sta wel gewoon.
Wij gaan ervan uit dat jij ooit wereldkampioen wordt voor je 35ste.
Oh nee, ik denk 35 ga ik niet meer bij badminton, denk
ik. Ik ben ook een grap. Ja, wat mij opvalt is dat je bijna net zo makkelijk over je sport spreekt als over God.
Ja, zeker.
Want kan dat met elkaar?
Ja, zeker weten. Want ik ben sowieso heel dankbaar. Want God kan ook de talent die hij aan mij gegeven heeft aan iemand anders geven. Daarom ben ik zo dankbaar dat hij aan mij heeft gegeven. En ga ik niet misbruiken, ga ik juist zijn naam verheerlijken daardoor. Want zonder hem kan ik niks doen. Dat is echt alles door zijn talent. En ik schaam me niet voor mijn geloof. En ik probeer niemand te bekeren. Alleen dat ik wil zeggen dat ze vragen aan mij... hoe ben je dan zo goed kan badmintonnen? Of dan ga ik vertellen de waarheid. En dat is de waarheid wel. Dat God heeft me talent gegeven zodanig dat... om zijn naam te verheerlijken. Ja.
Zo, dan zeg je wat, hè?
Ik denk dat gewoon... Hetzelfde, je moet eerlijk zijn. Ik denk te maken dan als een vader heeft je... Je hebt mijn vader gevraagd... pa, kan ik dan een huis kopen bijvoorbeeld? En je vader heeft je huis gegeven. En mensen vragen je... Hey, wat heb je een mooi huis? Dan ga je zeggen, ja, ik heb het zelf gedaan. Dat vind ik niet eerlijk. Want je hebt het niet zelf gedaan. Je hebt aan je vader gevraagd en je vader heeft het gegeven. En ik denk, je moet gewoon zeggen... Ja, ik heb van mijn vader gekregen.
De vader boven, je hemelse vader.
En ik denk dat zo werkt het, denk ik. Dat je gewoon moet dankbaar zijn met wat je hebt. En dat is gewoon zo. Als God niet daar was, dan zit ik vandaag niet hier. En dat ben ik zo dankbaar voor. En ik denk dat, voor mij het belangrijkste allereerst is niet mijn carrière. Is niet mijn man. Allereerst is God te dienen en met mij heel mijn leven. En de tweede komt meteen mijn man. Wij hebben nog klein gezien, we zijn met z'n tweeën en we hebben nog geen kinderen. So. Ja, en mijn gezin, en dat is Tilio en ik. En dat is boven mijn carrière en daarna pas komt mijn carrière. Want ik vind, als je dan je privé niet goed is, dan kan je ook nooit presteren. Ja.
Je zegt een hoop in een paar zinnen, hè? Ongekend, ja. Mia, je kijkt wel eens naar de uitzending van Hour of Power. Ja. Vind je dat leuk?
Vind ik leuk. Ik had het vorige week nog gezien en ik vond het zo... Mooi dat een vrouw had een man verloren of gegijzeld in de Filipijnen en zo. Dat vond ik, God bewaar ons om niet zulke dingen hoeft mee te maken, zeg maar. Nee. Maar God weet wat je aan kan, zo, dat ben ik niet bang voor.
Ja. Wat is jouw droom?
Mijn droom? eigenlijk heb ik al mijn droom. Ik wil altijd zo een goede man hebben. Ik bedoel, als een vrouw wil je altijd een goede man hebben die van de Heer houdt. En die van je houdt, die helemaal gek van je is, die... Gelukkig leven, gezond.
Nou, iedereen wil nou toch weten wie die is. Kom er even bij, want je zit daar in de hoek je vrouw te supporten. Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen. Hoi. Hallo.
Nou, dan ben je ook hier.
Ja.
Niet verwacht, hè?
Nee.
Je hebt nog niet geschoren.
Precies, ik zat achter de schermen. Dus,
ja. Hoe is dat om samen getrouwd te zijn?
Heerlijk. Ja? Heerlijk, ja. Voor mij heb ik echt de beste vrouw. Zij is gewoon geweldig. En niet alleen omdat ze badmintonspeelster is, want toen ik leren kennen, toen wist ik dat niet. Ja. Maar gewoon de zachtmoedigheid is geweldig. Echt waar. Ja.
Jij bent de zanger. Wat zing je voor haar?
Altijd hetzelfde lied, My Angel.
Zing het eens.
Sitting on the front row in church, I looked at you and thought, who's this beautiful girl? Then you looked at me with that special look so deeply in my eyes. And one thing I'm sure of, with Jesus we will survive.
Wat een geweldig huwelijk heb je.
Dank je wel.
Mia, ik wil je niet met lege handen naar huis laten gaan. Je man mag het zo meteen voor je dragen, want het is vrij zwaar. Het is zwaarder dan een badminton racket.
Echt waar?
Heb je al een idee wat het is?
Ik denk het wel.
Ja?
Zo, mooi.
The Possibility Thinkers Bible.
Wow.
Van de Crystal Cathedral. Die geef ik graag aan je.
Dank je wel.
Lees erin. Er staan allerlei. Je kent het boek. Dus, maar kijk eens, alles is mooi gehighlight. Wat allemaal positief en hoopvol en hoopgevend is.
Wauw, mooi hoor. Hartstikke bedankt.
Goed. En beloof me, je wordt een keer wereldkampioen.
Ik zal mijn best doen.
Ja. dank je. En dat was het enthousiaste verhaal van Mia Ordina. En ik was onder de indruk, misschien u ook, ik denk het wel, van haar stralende persoonlijkheid. En geweldig dat een man zo spontaan een prachtig lied zong. Zingen, dat doen we ook in de Crystal Cathedral, met het Crystal Cathedral Choir of andere muzici. En vandaag staat in de Crystal Cathedral en ook in de muziek Australië centraal, want het is vandaag de Australian Sunday.
Australia, I saw your flags. Where are you, my friends? Stand up, my friends from Australia. Thank you very much. And we went into Australia, I think it's 26 or 27 years ago. I was there on the 25th anniversary, and we were the first televised Christian church service to be held every week in Australia. John Ullman, will you stand up, please? Welcome, John.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's yours.
On behalf of Australia, first of all, I'd like to give you this, the thank you letters that have come from the ministry to you. I'd also thank you for the ministry that has been conducted in Australia. We thank you that in 1977, in July, you came to Australia and conducted the only school of ministry, successful ministry in Australia at that time. I'd like personally to thank the ministry for all they've done for me personally. Just after coming back from Israel, that December my wife was discovered with a brain tumour, and 18 months in and out of hospital before she passed to be with God. And I knew the ministry was praying each Thursday in Sydney, and I knew the ministry friends were supporting all that time. And one thing that happened during that time was a Muslim friend came to me when he heard the news, put his arm around me and said, "How's your wife's spiritual condition?" And that meant a lot to me. And so much so that I can say that we prayed for healing. Healing came for a short time, but spiritual healing came. So much so that when she passed to be the Lord, I wasn't there, but she had a smile upon her face, took a breath, and then went to be with her Lord. And I thank you for your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You cannot keep the love of Jesus from leaking out of your grateful eyes. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. You're
best. Now, also from Australia, a wonderful, famous singer and songwriter. She's been here many years ago when she was tiny. Rebecca, come. Can't wait to hear.
My father and I have been going through a series of messages entitled Once Upon All Time. Not once upon a time, but once upon all time. And it is a series of messages on creation. And it is our hope that this series of messages will have an impact upon you that will help you understand the significance that you have as an individual, created on purpose by God. The presence, the supreme being, the creator of the heavens and earth, who created you specifically for a purpose and for a reason. And when we go and we read Genesis 1, what we are reading is not necessarily a scientific explanation of how the world and the universe and everything we know began, but instead something of far greater significance. It is the spiritual realization of the sovereignty of who God is. It is an explanation to us to realize that the sovereignty of God and the magnificence of God, with all of his splendor, all of his wonder, created you. And when we come to this realization of how unique we are, it is my hope and dream that it will give you the understanding to realize that you can be the person that God has called you to be. And so in this series of messages, we saw how and why God separated the light from the dark. Day 2, we have the creation of this atmosphere around our planet and what that is all about. Day three, God separates the land from the water and at the same time plants the earth with vegetation. Day four, we looked at the sun and the moon and the stars and how God and why God created them and how immense they are. And it's a wonderful realization to realize that on day five and day six, God creates life as we know it. He starts off by creating the life in the sea and in the air. And I just absolutely love the sea. I went to school in Holland, Michigan, and I fell in love with the outdoors. I love the outdoors. I love creation. I love being and seeing what God has made. I love being in the wilderness. I love feeling that isolation and yet that kind of a tinge of excitement and anticipation, never knowing what's going to be around the next corner. And I love the thrill of being in God's beauty. And when I graduated from college, I knew that God was calling me to go into the ministry and that I was going to go to Fuller Seminary in Pasadena. And when I left Holland, Michigan, and I said, God, I'm losing my wilderness. I'm losing the outdoors. I'm losing that space that you've always given to me to be able to discover you and to have that time of prayer meditation. I need, Lord, to find a wilderness in Pasadena. God can answer any prayer. That was my prayer. Lord, you're going to have to show me another wilderness. And do you know what I discovered? I discovered a wilderness not far from here. It's called the Pacific Ocean. You go only a few miles offshore, and you're in the middle of nowhere. And talk about life. Holy mackerel. One of the most exciting things to do at night when it's dark and you're out there all alone and you see nothing but the gorgeous stars above you is to take a light and put it overboard. And you sit there and just turn the engines off, turn everything off, out a couple miles, you'd put a light overboard, and you just wait and see what comes up. Thousands and millions of these little bugs. And it's not long after the bugs show up that guess what? The mackerels show up, and they start eating the bugs. Either that or the squid show up. And guess what happens after that? You never know what's going to show up. Seals, sharks, you never know. It's scary. It's kind of cool. But I'll tell you sit there and you look at all of the creatures in the sea that God has made, every single one of them, millions and billions of tiny little creatures. And they start from the smallest, very smallest, microscopic, to the bugs, and the chain just continues to grow. And who created all these? God created one, every single one. And he created the birds in the air and all the flying things. That includes everything with wings. God has created everything on planet Earth. I often ask, how in the world does he have the imagination to create something like a mosquito? But every flying thing, God created them all. The fifth day. The sixth day, God created all the creatures that walk on the ground, that slither on the ground, everything that has movement on land. I absolutely love animals. There was a time in my family where we had a dog, two cats, And they all got along together really well. That was the amazing thing. All of the animals did. Two cats, a parakeet, and two fish. Did I say the bunny? Oh, I forgot to mention the bunny. Those were the pets in my house. Then I had four kids to go along with it. So we had a house full. Now I'm down to a dog, a cat, and one high schooler. You know, my dog is a little puppy dog. He's 6 months old. Is he there? Is Bentley over there? Oh, there's my little puppy dog. Hi there, Bentley. Yeah, hi there, Bentley. How's it going? Are you okay? The church is going to the dogs, Dad said. Yeah, this is little Bentley. He is my little dog. He's, oh, are you scared? Yeah, well, they'd be scared too. He's my little puppy dog. Our other puppy dog died. We have our one dog and we have one kitty, and that's our pets. He's really scared. I think we better get him back. Here you go, Bentley. Come on. There you go, pal. Here you go. Bye-bye, Bentley. Now we're down to one cat and one dog. But we love animals. And God created them all. It's amazing what God has created. We see the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle on the hills, the incredible animal kingdom that God has made. And it's absolutely spectacular. And then what did God do? He made you, and he made me. One of my favorite stories is about the creation of Eve. God came to Adam and said, Adam, I'm going to give you the most beautiful creature on planet Earth. She will continue to be your helpmate in every possible way. She will please you in every conceivable manner. She will be at your beck and call night and day to treat you, to care for you, to love you. She will always be the most beautiful thing in the entire world. You will never have an argument with her. She'll never be late. She'll never wear makeup because she doesn't need to. She'll always have the finest clothes, and she'll make them herself. And he went on down the list. And finally, Adam said, okay, God, what's it going to cost me? And God said, an arm and a leg. And Adam said, well, what can I get for a rib? And God created Adam, and God created Eve. And he created for a purpose and for a reason, to love God. He created us for the sole purpose of worshiping him. We are the only creatures ever created, as Michael Gillen would say, with SQ, spiritual quotient. An understanding of who God is and a desire to have a relationship with him and a desire to worship him. An SQ. And as a result, God said, I give you every living thing on planet Earth. Here, God has created everything. He's created this planet, this universe. He's created this atmosphere. He's separated the darkness from the light. He has created the sun and the moon. He's put the vegetation over the hills. He's filled the seas and the lakes and the rivers with life. He's put all of the world in motion. And then he says, all of this is yours. To bring joy into our lives, to sustain our happiness, our lives. It's there for us to be able to use and to control responsibly and reasonably for the betterment of humankind and for us. pastor loved animals, as one other pastor, not this one, another pastor loved animals. He had a little kitten. This kitten got away and it climbed up into the tree. And so he tried to climb in the tree and get the kitten down, but the tree wasn't quite big enough to hold his weight. It was a little too flimsy. And so what he decided he would do, since he couldn't climb up the tree, he decided what he would do is he would try and pull the tree down, but it was just a little too strong for him to pull it over and get the cat out. So he got a rope and tied it to the back of his car. Now, pastors aren't known for their as much for their intelligence as much as it is for their ingenuity. So he got a rope, tied it to the bumper of his car, put the rope around the tree, and decided with the car he could pull the tree on just far enough so he could grab the kitten and get him out of the tree. So he was inching along, pulling the tree down. He could see the kitten just grasping onto those branches. He's coming down a little bit further. Okay, I need about another foot and I can reach him. All of a sudden, guess what happened? The rope broke. The kitten was flung out like an arrow out of a bow. And he just saw the cat disappear. And that's the last he ever saw of him. He went and knocked on the neighbor's doors. He looked everywhere to try and find this kitten. Couldn't find the kitten anywhere. Days later, he's doing his grocery shopping. Yes, pastors do their grocery shopping too. And he's going down the aisles and he sees one of the parishioners, one of the members of his church, and she has cat food in her basket. He goes, "Why do you have cat food in your basket? You don't have a cat and you hate cats." She was a dog lover. She had dogs. She said, "Well, Pastor, you won't believe it. My daughter has been asking for a kitty all of her life. She's decided she was going to go outside and pray about it." I said, "We wouldn't. The only way you're ever going to get a kitten is if it falls from the sky." And she was sitting in the front yard and she's praying, and if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. God answers prayer. He answers it in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And when we look at the creation that God has made, and we see the incredible magnificence, we come to the realization of how unique and precious we are as individuals and people. And you begin to realize that there is probably one human being for every 100 billion living creatures on planet Earth. And the Bible says if God cares for the sparrows, how much more doesn't he care for you, O ye of little faith? You are truly unique on planet Earth. You are one in billions created by God for a purpose and for a reason. God has created you unique and special. Love one another, said Jesus Christ. Care for this incredible gift that God has given to us. And go with God. Always. Amen.
the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. In your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
En met een uitbundig gezongen, Revive Us Again, nemen we afscheid van de Crystal Cathedral. En ook eigenlijk min of meer afscheid van een lange prekenserie van dominee Schuller over creation, de schepping. Na te lezen op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Iedereen, heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. We vinden het bijzonder dat u en dat jij kijkt. Wil je met ons in contact komen, bellen of schrijven, dat kan. Ons adres verschijnt zometeen in beeld. Een hele goede zondag toegewenst. En graag tot volgende week zondag bij Hour of Power.
Jesus, how precious you are to me. Is he precious to you? To me. The heavens declare.